Well, quite an exciting game on Friday night as you guys battle back from 8 points down with just 3 minutes to go to defeat Weber State 31-28. Before we get to the questions and start talking about this week's opponent, just give me your impressions on that game Friday night.
Well, it's just a, you know, just a, an outstanding college football game, and it's, you know, two really, really talented teams, and really, the first thing I'd say is my hat's off to Weber State, and they are a good football team, and I know that, you know, a lot of our fans and the people on the East Coast may not be familiar with them, but you know, watching them throughout the season, you know, they came within just a play or two of beating Cal Berkeley early in the year. Had a loss in the middle of the season to Southern Utah, which probably in hindsight now was probably a pretty good upset because they, you know, beat Southern Utah by 20. They're in the second round, but they're a talented football team, very well coached, very composed, very mature, and just played outstanding on Friday night. And so, just what a great performance by them. But, you know, back to my kids. I mean, just what an effort, especially late. You know, had some mistakes and some things that put us in a situation where, you know, we're staring at our season coming to an end, and our kids never flinched. And they, you know, they found a way to come back, score, then go for two, tie the game, get the stop, drive back down, and then just, you know, what a clutch performance by Ethan Rackey there to hit the field goal as time expired to win the ball game. So an exciting ball game. You know, our stadium was as loud as it's been all season, and, you know, the students and the fans were certainly into the game, and it was just a great environment for a really, really classic college football game. So we're excited to be advancing and looking forward to this Saturday in South Dakota State.
We've got a bunch of questions for you in queue, if you'll get those for us, Larry.
So if your first question comes from Dave Thomas of ESPN, you may ask your question.
Good morning, Coach. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Talk about Marcus Marshall, if you will, a little bit. I talked with him a few weeks ago, and he said he watched himself back on film and wasn't happy with how he was running. And you said in the post-game press conference you spoke with Marcus earlier that week. Just talk about, from him recognizing the fact that he wasn't running as hard as he could to your conversation, what you saw transpire with him.
You know, my biggest thing when we talked was just, you know, I have a very high opinion of Marcus, you know, and I told him, you know, he's such an incredible person off the field, and I talked about, you know, the guy on the field, and I said, you've got to see yourself for what you can be, and I think he can be a difference maker, you know, every time he touches the football, but he's got to see himself as a guy that has that ability. And to be honest, I think a lot of his, you know, things that may have kept him from playing as good as he can this year may even be just as simple as confidence. But I thought that he looked maybe more determined and more assertive from the get-go Friday night. And certainly he was a huge factor in the ball game and looked like what, you know, we envisioned when we brought him here. And just really happy for him with the performance. And hopefully he can use that as confidence to build on, you know, going into this week.
And lastly, Coach, last year you were at North Dakota State this time. You had to do exams on the road and just kind of wrapping up the semester. Now you're home. A, how does the experience from last year help you prepare to get your guys focused and take care of their business in the classroom? And B, how much easier is it going to be being at home this year to take care of the academic side?
Well, I think that number one, you know, I think our older kids understand it. You know, the big thing I talked with the team about yesterday was mainly addressed at the younger kids. Just, you know, you got to prioritize and you got to compartmentalize this week, and, you know, because you have exams, you have papers, you have all the stuff at the end of the semester, and then you're preparing for a national semifinal ball game. You know, it was challenging going on the road last year. At the same time, you know, once we got, you know, away from campus, you know, the guys, you know, it's maybe a little bit easier for them to compartmentalize because they did all their final exams and kind of blocks, and then everything else with football. You know, being here, they've got to manage their schedule, and they've got to make sure they take care of their academic responsibilities. And then we've been able to block off certain periods of time each day to focus on football. So it's just going to be, you know, being disciplined, taking care of business and our preparation. Once we get to Friday, we'll be okay, because really by then you just get into the, you know, normal weekend game day game weekend routine. So, but it's a challenge, and I think that hopefully our older kids will help, encourage the younger ones to really, do a great job of being disciplined with their time this week.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Greg Medea from the Daily News. Please ask your question.
Hey, Mike, just looking back at Friday night's game, were you guys surprised at all that Weber State didn't go for two after Cantwell threw the touchdown there late? Just because, if they get a two-point conversion, they go up two scores instead of just, 28-20, where you guys were able to tie it late.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you don't get it, then you're kicking yourself. So I'm sure that they were thinking right then that they had the momentum, and they were probably thinking that at worst, if we scored and got the two, that it was going to overtime. I'm sure they didn't anticipate, us being able to score 11 points in 3 minutes. But it's one of those stuff like that's always hindsight's 20/20. If you ask him today, then yeah, he'd say he probably would have wanted to go for two, but at the end of the day, it really would have been meaningless in the end anyway. It might have put a little bit more pressure on the kick, but the kick still would have won the game. But it's hindsight's always 20/20.
Right, and then just kind of the difficulty of this year's run in the playoffs for you guys compared to last year. I know you had obviously that very game at North Dakota State last year, but you didn't have nearly the battles you did in the first two rounds last year. How would you compare the two runs to this point?
I just think we have seen two really top end quality opponents. We saw a Stony Brook team that had one loss in the CAA. It's really an extremely talented Stony Brook club. And then, like I said at the beginning of the call, I don't think most people appreciate just what a good football team we beat Friday night. Weber State, their skill, their speed, their size, the kids played hard, they're well coached, very disciplined. That is a really good football team, and I don't know what they have behind the quarterback there coming back, but I would think that team is probably going to be around on the national stage for the next several years.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of David Driver from Raleigh Observer. Please ask your question.
I mean, obviously a lot of teams get guys that come down, but sort of talk about the vetting process that goes into that. I mean, I'm sure you love having the talent, but I guess it takes a right fit as well for guys to maybe move down a level.
If you could, I only caught the last half of your question. If you could, please start again.
Yeah, just talk a little bit about some of the Power 5 transfers you have in the program and sort of what the vetting process is like. Obviously the talent is they've played at a higher level, but talk about when they move down a level, getting the right fit in terms of character and things like that.
Right. Well, we're a place that attracts a lot of attention from guys that are looking to transfer. And so, we get, I get multiple requests a week, emails, inquiries, stuff like that. So, it's one of those deals where we are very selective. It's important to us that we bring the right kind of character people into our program because I think we have strong character in our locker room. And I want to make sure that we protect that because that's really the kind of the backbone of our program. All the kids we bring in, we obviously do a good bit of research because, there's a reason they're leaving. They're either leaving because something's happened as far as an off-field incident or, they're not good enough or they could just be unhappy. I certainly prefer the third to the first two because if they're not good enough to play there, then, they might not be good enough to play here. But we really do research on why they're leaving and we really try to take guys that we think will be solid contributors or difference makers here, and we really try to take people that were going to be good teammates in the locker room and are going to be, enjoyable to coach. I think that the one thing that most of the guys have discovered when they got here is, the top end of our roster is pretty talented, and, they've all of them have made solid contributions, but all of them have had to work very, very hard to get on the field. And I think it's only served to strengthen our depth across the board, and you know, our performance on the field. And I think that all the players that we've brought in have really handled themselves well. Also, you know, they've done a good job of not coming in here with this huge ego or anything like that. They've all come in here just being, you know, normal guys, and you know, kind of putting their head down and working real hard and trying to become a part of the team. And I think they've all achieved that, and that's been the reason that it's, you know, worked out so well.
If I could just follow up on Marshall from, of course, the Raleigh area. You talked about him, but it was interesting. You mentioned something about confidence from, mm-hmm. you know, that you would think a person coming from a higher level wouldn't have any trouble with confidence. Maybe expand on that a little bit, what happened there.
Well, I mean, I think that Marcus came in and, you know, he was a flexbone fullback. And now all of a sudden he's a spread offense tailback, and you know, they're different positions, and so he had some learning curve there, and I think that it you know, it did maybe take him a little bit longer to adapt. And I think that may have, you know, given him some, you know, questions in the back of his mind as far as, you know, knowing that he can do it. He can go out there and he can play at that high level. And there's no doubt in my mind that he can. And, you know, I think there's no doubt in the minds of most of us that he can. And it was great to see him really have that big night the other night where he played so well on a national stage. In that kind of ball game, because I really do think he's a special person, and he's a special player.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from the line of John O'Connor from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Please ask your question.
Mike, you mentioned the unfamiliarity of fans for these teams that are coming from such a long distance. How does the coaching staff and the team handle that, getting familiar with an opponent that's very unfamiliar?
Well, I think, you know, the coaching staff, you know, we watch so much film, you know, especially Sunday, Monday of each week, that you know your opponent pretty well going into Tuesday. And I think that, you know, as the week wears on, it gets to a point where you've seen, you know, virtually everything they've done the entire season. And I think that our players really depend on a combination of their own film study, their own time in meetings, and, you know, the intel that we are giving them, you know, to kind of validate just what they're up against. I do think that our players trust us, and I think they understand that when you get to this point in the season, every team that you're going to play is going to be a solid football team. But, you know, you're looking for any avenue of information that you can get, you know, when researching opponents, whether it's, you know, people that have played them, coaches, you know, coaches just, you know, familiar with that particular program or whatever, just to get as good of a grasp on that program that you're facing for the first time, usually, and trying to be as prepared as we can be.
How about some general impressions of the Jackrabbits?
Well, I mean, they're obviously a very good football team. You know, they've scored a lot of points on offense this year, and, you know, they've got, probable first round draft pick at the tight end position. They've got probably a top four or five rounds draft pick at wide receiver. I think their quarterback is a dynamic dual threat guy. You know, throws it very well, runs very well. So I think it starts with those three on offense, because I think they're really special players. I think they're solid everywhere else. They're big, strong, and physical, you know, up front on the offensive line. They have, you know, three pretty hard-nosed tailbacks. You know, they're what you would expect offensively from a Missouri Valley Conference football team. And, you know, you flip over and look at them defensively, and they remind me a lot of North Dakota State from last year. Strong, physical, good size, play very hard, you know, great motor, you know, very disciplined, obviously talented. But, you know, the things that stand out are, the, you know, those intangibles that we saw from North Dakota State last year, and we saw from Youngstown State. And I just think that you're going to see, you know, that caliber of football team come in here Saturday, where it's, you know, one of the top teams in the country. You know, they beat beat North Dakota State earlier in the year. It's North Dakota State's only loss. So, you know, obviously they are capable of beating anybody at the FCS level in the nation.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from Craig Haley from Stats. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hi, Coach. Can you reflect on the teams remaining in the playoffs? I mean, with your team, South Dakota State, you know, and then North Dakota State, Sam Houston State, these aren't underdogs. We're talking some heavy hitters with top coaches. You know, just a great Final Four.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you've got four teams that are all capable of winning the national championship. You know, you have, you know, one of the top passing offenses in the country in Sam Houston State. You know, you've got North Dakota State, who for so long has been, you know, the top dog in FCS. You've got South Dakota State that I think is right there on par with North Dakota State and beat them earlier in the year. And then you have James Madison, who we've been, you know, preseason number one and been ranked number one each week throughout the season and remain undefeated. So I think that you have four teams that are as good as anybody in the country. And so I think that what you see is, you know, tournament play works. I don't know why the BCS is so resistant to it, but I think that our format works as far as getting, you know, the best team in the nation coming out on top. And I think that you'll see that over the next 3 weeks.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from David Keel from Daily Press. Please ask your question.
Coach, how much did you know about Ethan's ability before Tyler's injury? How much work does a backup kicker get in practice?
Well, you know, when Ethan first got here last year, you really questioned if he was ever going to develop. You know, because he just he just looked like the, you know, a young, physically not mature high school kid. But to his credit, you know, he came in here and I really challenged him when he got here that he had to get stronger, that he had to improve his leg strength, that he had to, you know, improve, you know, his mechanics, and just a lot of different things. And we talked a good bit about it. And, you know, Ethan's the same guy he always has been. He doesn't say a whole lot. He just, you know, took that and said, yes, sir, and went to work. And it became obvious throughout the spring and summer the improvement he was making, and we felt very confident with him going into the season that he was going to be a very solid backup kicker. And, you know, when Tyler went down, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now? You know, we all knew that Ethan was capable of being solid. Now, I think that Ethan has been more than solid. I think he has just been really outstanding ever since he took over. And the entire team has a ton of confidence in him, mainly because every single day when we do anything with that unit, Ethan is consistently performing at a high level. You know, we work our PAT field goal unit probably 3-4 days a week, and a variety of kicks from a variety of places. And you know, the guys sit there and watch, and Ethan always comes through. So this group has a ton of confidence in him.
Do you have so-called clutch drills at the end of practice where he has to make a field goal maybe to prevent sprints or anything like
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done that throughout the preseason with both kickers, and then throughout the year, you know, with a variety of different things. And so, you know, anytime we can put him in a situation where there's anywhere close to game-like pressure, we try to do that. And he mentioned it, you know, the other night that each Thursday we end practice with a 2-minute drill, and we, you know, it's, you know, here's the score, here's the situation, and usually we try to create it where a kick either wins it or ties it or whatever. And then just wherever the drill ends up is where he kicks from. So he's kicked from a variety of different places with, you know, usually with a pretty, you know, maybe not a full live rush, but a good rush right in his face. So he gets that simulation a lot. And, you know, I think that his preparation and the way he handles it And the way he just handled that kick the other night, no different from, you know, any kick that he has throughout the year with practice and stuff, is the reason why it wasn't one that he felt a ton of pressure on.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks a lot.
All right. I know, Coach Houston, you've got a meeting for the NCAA today, so unfortunately for the other people on the line, we're going to have to end the call. But thank you so much for taking time with us today, and good luck Saturday against South Dakota State.
Thanks a lot. We're looking forward to it. Hopefully we can find a way to win by one. Go Dukes.
All right. Thanks.